Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's Lee and Keys, Real Talk, episode 45. Back with another one. I got Lee here. We're about to break it down for you. Episode number 45, bro. How you feel about it?
Yo, what up, man? How goes it, man? Episode 45. Remember when Jordan came back wearing that 4-5 and then Jay-Z said something about he was repping that 4-5, like Mike. So, you know, man, episode 45. Let's get it.
Yeah, didn't Jordan wear 45 when he was playing in high school, Duke?
Yeah, he wore 45. He wore 45 when he was playing, when he was in high school. And then he wore 45 when he went and played baseball. And then he wore 45 when he came back from playing baseball. And then Donovan Mitchell, of course, number 45, too. So, what up, man? Donovan Mitchell, shout out. Supposed to be a rookie of the year.
Oh, yeah, Donovan Mitchell. When I had looked up 45 earlier, I'd seen that. That's what's up. You know, also, I forget what was else. Was 45, but I know the 45 minus 10 is 35, and 35%, it's a little bit closer to 36% because I was looking into this earlier, but it's between 35 and 36% of the viewership of our show, they come from Norway. So I just want to say shout out to y'all in Norway, because that was dope today when I came across that. That was really dope. Shout out to the Norwegians.
Shout out to Norway.
Yeah, man. I was, you know, because, you know, for this show, we out in the United States, and I just don't know where. I mean, it's just cool to see. I mean, we have smaller percentages from different countries, but that one is, you know, our second most popular country. I mean, we have, like, the remaining, you know, 65% in the United States, which is understandable, but. No, that was dope when I saw that today. So, and it actually increased from the last time because I had actually noticed that, you know, a little while back, and I had just forgot to mention it. But that viewership actually increased. That was a smaller number before from Norway. So I guess we catching waves out in Norway, bro.
Norway, shout out.
Yeah, man. I guess, you know, maybe the Norwegians have been watching the UFC or something. Catching on to our show.
Hey, we trying to reach ears far and wide, so spread the word. Lee and Keys, international.
Lee and Keys, international. I like the sound of that. Got a nice
record. That's right.
Yeah, man, you know, Lee and Keys, we're going to have to ship out there to Norway, and we're going to do a pop-up stand or something. Going to have like a...
I'm with that. I'm always down to travel.
Yeah, we had actually, you know, one of our previous shows, we had just said that, you know, and I was kind of telling, you know, we was talking about how my brother travels all the time. I feel like he goes on vacation once a month. And when you talk about, you know, your life, it reminds me of my brother and vice versa. And then I'm just thinking, damn, I got to get out and travel more. I got to see the damn world. I mean, I'm still young, but damn, I got to get the mind. I got to get the mindset right and stop prioritizing that.
Hey, you know, being a too young man, the best way to actually do certain stuff and go different places and really and have fun with it. It's going on a cruise, man. Cruises are so fun, dog. Man, it's like you on a boat with like 5,000, 3,000 other people, you know. Man, everybody up there to have a good time. And then there's so much stuff going on the boat. And then, you know, you go to different places, you know, while you're on a cruise. You know, when we went on our cruise, we went to the Grand Cayman Island. We went to Cozumel. We went to Jamaica, and we went to, there was one other place. I can't remember the place, but, you know, man, we had a good time, man. That's a good way to see different stuff, too, is go on a cruise.
Yeah, you know, because I had actually, I mean, that trip right there sounds like it was a whole lot of fun. I actually went on a cruise. I think it was right after I graduated from high school. And that was 4 years ago. Around this time, 4 years ago, I went on my first cruise ever. And, my father had surprised me with that trip right after I graduated high school. So, because when I graduated, I mean, that could have just been a gift either way, graduation gift. I mean, which was an amazing thing. That was like, you know, we went for 10 days. I think we went for 10 days, and it was like, I say that might have been the best week of my life, and I wasn't even 21. Like, I couldn't even, I mean, they would slip me drinks, you know, here and there when they could, but I couldn't just walk up to the bar or, you know, go get something on the island. Even there, I mean, some of the islands I couldn't. I mean, we went to the Caribbean and U.S. So we went to St. Thomas. We went to the Virgin Islands. I remember the St. Martin and St. Thomas we went to. And I know the St. Martin, the drinking age was like 15 or 16. That was wild over there. I remember me and my cousin, we look very alike. And me and my cousin had went up to the bar, and I was just getting some food because I hadn't ate all day. And then I had, you know, caught wind of that. I caught wind that the drinking age was pretty young. So I just asked her. We asked to order a couple of drinks, and we had sunglasses on. We probably looked a little older anyways. But, I mean, she didn't even – they don't even card you. Like, I don't know if that was supposed to – I mean, I'm inexperienced. Maybe I don't understand. They didn't even card us. Like, she didn't even think twice. I was like, man, we could have been just about anybody on this island and got anything. I mean, the tourist was trying to sell us weed. We was at the bar. We ended up attracting some girls. They wanted to take pictures. They were from New Jersey. They ended up being like 22 years old. I was 18 at the time. I just turned 18. My cousin, I think, was 16. So we was hanging out with them. That was good. Yeah, that was out in St. Martin, and that was probably arguably the best week of my entire life. That was such an amazing trip. You know, man, because it took a lot for me to get through high school. So that, my junior year, senior year was probably a really hard time. You'll probably get into that on another show. I don't want to break that down tonight, but I could probably explain that to y'all another time. But when I had...
That's what's up, man.
That's like a whole show kind of thing right there. But, you know, when I got through that sense of completion and then going on that vacation right after, just that got me ready for college, man. I was ready. I felt fulfilled. I mean, that trip in itself was like the only thing I remember from that summer, because that was, you know, by far the most memorable part. That trip, that 10 days felt like my entire summer packed into a week and a half right there. I didn't need to do anything else. I was ready to work. I felt, you know how you kind of get, sometimes you get vacationed out. You had so much fun, you just feel fulfilled with the vacation, and you're like, okay, like, I relaxed. I enjoyed a lot of things. I got to see some new things. I got to meet new people, you know, try some new food, maybe. Eat a lot of food, maybe. Hop in the jacuzzi, you know what I'm saying? And you just get, you know, you get...
Yeah, man.
Content. You're like...
People just don't realize, man, when you get out there on that boat, man, it's just you, a bunch of strangers on this big-ass boat, man, and everybody out there for the same thing. They want to get away from the rustle and tussle of everyday life, let their hair down, have some fun, see some different things. And, man, they offer so much stuff on a boat, man, on a cruise, that you'll be amazed. I know, like, we went on ours, like, they had, like, comedians fly in. They had, like, a Las Vegas, show. You know, you got the casino, the casino deck. Then you got the clubs, man. Then you got the pool area. Then you can eat all day. Man, it's just, man, a cruise is, like, as your first way of vacationing, I would say everybody should take a cruise. Do about a 7-night, 6-dayer, probably. I want to do a short cruise. I would probably go 7 nights, 6 days, and then roll like that. But, yeah, man. Hey, a cruise, oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, it's a little expensive, you know, if you don't get an all-inclusive. But, man, you have so much fun, man. You meet so many cool people. And, it was just a good time. But, man, we're getting off course, man. So what's up, man? Let's talk, man. What we got popping off tonight?
All right, so this isn't the topic that I was going to talk about, but I'll just brush through it real quick. It's not a very uplifting topic, you know, being that me and Lee are we're both Stipe Miocic fans. We're pretty big fans, and me personally, he's probably my favorite UFC fighter. I mean, I've always liked McGregor. I mean, there's a lot of guys I like, but Miocic's probably my favorite guy out there. So I like his personality. He's humble, very humble champion. You know, he goes out there. He don't talk a lot of trash. I mean, if you provoke him, he does a little bit, but he doesn't go crazy with it. He's a family man at the end of the day, and he's a hard worker. And that guy, I look up to people like that, and that's why I'm such a big fan of Miocic, man. That's why I always try to take him up and tell everybody he needs more credit in the UFC, because I like what he stands for. And I mean, he's one of the best dudes out there, regardless of the fact that he did just lose his belt this weekend. And I was very hurt by that. You know, I had done DraftKings, and I don't know if Lee remembers this, but the show that we had did earlier that day, when I was talking about my DraftKings lineup, I had told you that I didn't think that I may have joked and said I would sweep. What I said was that I thought at least three. I expected at least three of my six fighters in my lineup to take W's that night, and I was correct in that prediction, because three of my six fighters won and the other three lost, because I had Stipe, he lost. I took Rob Font, he lost, and I took I forget who else I took, but he lost too. But my three, who I had, and then I had three that won. I forget. Derek Lewis had like the worst fight of all time. You know, he won somehow.
We ain't gonna talk about it.
Yeah, that was. I don't even know what to say about that. I didn't even feel happy that, like, to say my fighter won, because it was in such a bad fashion. I think I heard that they threw 39 strikes combined. And these are two, like, power puncher guys who only stand and bang. And they knock guys out on the regular. They don't go on the ground or really anything like that. Derek Lewis a little bit, but how would that 39 strikes? Man, I watched
that
on. Yeah, go ahead.
See, now you bringing me down, man. You bringing me down, man. You got to keep me up, man. You bringing me down.
All right, bro. All right. That's the end of that right there. Yeah, it was good.
I had Showtime. That was probably the performance of the night for me. Honestly, I think Showtime Pettis had a really impressive win over Michael Chiesa, who is another,
like, submission.
I think he's a submission guy. You know, he's got some ground game, but Pettis
outdid him at his own.
You have Mike Perry too, right? You have Platinum Perry too, right?
I didn't take Mike Perry because I was kind of scared about that fight. I felt like Felder could have got it,
and it could have went either way, which I think I was pretty close in that prediction, because Mike Perry only won by split decision, if I remember correctly. So that was a close fight, even though it might have not looked that close, because Felder was getting beat on after a while.
He was looking rough out there.
I had Felder winning that fight. I had him winning the first and third round. I had Perry winning the second round. I mean, even though Felder probably looked the most busted up, I for sure gave him the first round. The third round could have been a little close, but I still think he was a little bit more aggressive than Mike Perry, even though he had a broken arm. He had that massive cut on his forehead and the one he got in the corner of his eye. I thought Felder should have won that fight.
Yeah, if you were to judge a fight based on who looks more beat up, then Perry probably would have got a unanimous decision because Felder was looking rough, man. I hope that they, you know, I hope they patched him up and he got the care he needed because he was, he had like a bulge on his forehead. It was kind of looking rough, man. I don't know. I think I'm thinking of the right fight.
I think I am.
And he was just, man, yeah, so I had, now I just remembered, I had Showtime was one of my winners. I had Derek Lewis was one of my winners. And then my third winner was Dan Hooker. Yeah, Dan Hooker was, he fought on the prelims, and he knocked out, you know, whoever he fought in the first round. So that was actually my first win. That was my first fighter of the night, which was a big win. So the other two were Perry looked great, though. I was proud of that, bro. Even though he fought a lightweight guy that's technically smaller than him. But I'm still proud of Perry, though. Fighting him is looking good out there. I think because training at Jackson Wink now, he's a bit more sharp.
Yeah, because, you know, at first they say he didn't have a trainer. You know, he would just go to camp, work out, work on some things, and then he'll just have somebody sit in his corner. But then, you know, he said he decided to actually go through a real camp with Wink John. So, to tighten up some holes in his game. So, you know, it's a shout out to him, man, you know, to decide to clean up some flaws in his game, to probably get some quality coaching, you know. So shout out to Mike Perry. That was a good fight. If I was giving out bonuses, I probably would have gave that the fight of the night. And I probably would have gave Showtime performance of the night, and I may have gave DC performance of the night.
Shout out to DC. You done good, bro. DC, you done good. But that's all you getting, though. We done on that topic.
Boo.
Good night, DC. Hey, man, look at this. Stipe, all right, so Miocic, back to this. Miocic's about to come back, bro. I've seen his interview. He's still humble in victory or defeat. You know, it sucks to lose, of course, and he said that. But, you know, hey, like I said, I think there's a silver lining. The guy made, you know, just shy of $1 million. He made $750,000 to lose his belt and then go home to his newborn child and his wife, which he seemed extremely happy about. So, to me, that's still a win.
That's a win.
He's going to come back stronger.
Well, you know, I think my whole thing is just watching the fight. I think the fight changed when DC poked him in the eye because Stipe was starting to take control of the fight. He was hitting DC with some clean shots. You know, actually, he was actually – you know, getting off a lot of combinations on DC. And then DC poked him in the eye. Then, you know, the referee stopped. I thought Stipe probably should have took a little bit more time, you know, to make sure he was good to go. I know why he probably wanted to get back in there, because he was controlling the fight. So, but then if you play, actually my coworker pointed this out to me on Monday. He said if you look at the replay, when right before DC knocks him out on the break, DC pushes him off and actually pokes him in the eye again. So that may have played a part of him getting knocked out. But, you know, man, that's neither here nor there. Congrats to DC, you know, on being a two-way class champ at the same time. You know, now everybody talking about him and Brock Lesnar. I'm really not feeling that fight. What has Brock Lesnar done to deserve a title shot? Not a damn thing. If you ask me, they should either give the title shot to Derek Lewis or Curtis Blaydes. I mean, at least them guys is out there fighting, you know, winning fights, instead of being in WWE talking trash and wrestling once every 6 months. So, you know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, but, you know, Derek Lewis just had the most worst performance. That was a terrible fight. I mean, he even said himself that he doesn't he's upset at himself, and he knows he doesn't deserve a title shot. He actually said, which is – it's almost funny that he even said this, because the blunt honesty of him being real like this kind of shocked me. He said that he thought his performance actually put him back two fights from a title shot. You believe a fighter say that? I never heard of this in the UFC, a fighter talking himself backwards from a title shot. And to say he put the performance put him two fights back, not even just one. He didn't say, oh, I'll go out there, win one more, and I'll get a title shot. He said it put him two fights back. Man, that's why I'm a fan of Doug Lewis. He's a real dude. He knows that was embarrassing.
Yeah, so, and then Nagano said that, he was embarrassed by his performance also because he still had fear from his fight against Stipe in his mind or something like that. So, you know, man, I just think them guys, man, when they hit so hard and, you know, the other guy hit so hard, they were just scared to take chances, man. It was like, do I really want to go in and maybe get caught with one shot? So, man, it was just a snoozer, man. It was like one of those fights. I think me and you said it on our pre-fight show that some fights just don't live up to the billing. And I think me and you both was like, I don't think we had a little what if, you know, about that fight that it might not live up to the hype. So, snooze fest.
Yeah, I'm just, that really threw me off. I think everybody in the second round was like, all right, like, what's going to happen? And I was watching Chael Sonnen. Now, I want to say this. I think Chael Sonnen is probably the funniest dude in all of MMA. He's the funniest guy. I love it. I love watching his take on fights. And one of the funniest ones was his reaction to that fight. He posted a blog about that fight reaction, and he was talking about how he was like, man, I was in the crowd. There was tons of people. It was everybody hated the fight, but honestly, he was like, I loved that fight because of. He basically said he loved the fight because of what it did to the crowd. He said that the crowd had. Like, he said at one point, everyone in the crowd around him took their phones out and they started putting the flash on and they were waving the phones around in the air because first they tried to boo, and then once they realized the fighters weren't giving a damn about the boos, nor were they changing pace in the fight
or actually turning things up, they started putting the flashlights on their phones and waving them around. And then after that, he said they even started a wave.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. God. And you know what, man? But you know, as when you pay your money to go to a UFC event, you want to see fights, man. You want to see good fights. You want to see finishes, you know. But you don't want to have to deal with two guys in there trying to counter punch and fight a technical fight, you know, that's just boring. That's just boring, man.
Yeah, no, it's like
you go to a concert and you might see the wave. I mean, or like when an event's starting up, you might see the wave, but like not during a fight, not during the co-main event. Do you get the wave going, man? That was the funniest thing I heard all day. When he said that, I was cracking up. And I'm even cracking up. I was even trying to stop laughing just now, just thinking about it. Man, the UFC needs Chael Sonnen. They let him go to Bellator, man. They screwed up. They need Chael Sonnen. Not even just a fight. They need him to commentate. I don't know why in the world they don't got him commentating. That's the funniest guy in the whole MMA right there.
Well, you know, Chael used to be – he was the original co-host on UFC Tonight. You know, it used to be him and Kenny Florian. And then, you know, Chael decided he wanted to go join Bellator. And then he used to do little commentary stuff for ESPN too. So, you know, Chael is respected in the game. So, you know, shout out to Chael Sonnen, man. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, I'm not a fan of Bellator, but you know, I do like I do like Chael Sonnen as a play-by-play guy, color guy, you know, MMA talk guy. But I think probably his better days in the octagon are behind him.
Well, you know, I do want to say one thing is that, you know, Chael is still in the Bellator heavyweight tournament.
Yeah,
he,
I do.
He has to fight. He's got to fight Fedor next. So,
man, I think he's got a good shot winning the whole thing.
I feel like he's good on the ground, bro. I feel like he's very smart, you know, precise mixed martial artist overall. So, I do think out of all those guys, he's probably got
the best
shot. Either him or Bader, I do think, wins that tournament. I'm going to say that right now. Either him or Ryan Bader wins that tournament, 100%.
That's like a 50-50.
I can roll with that. I think Sonnen is a smart guy in there. I think he learned a lot from that first Anderson Silva fight and probably the second fight he should have learned from, trying to do a spinning back fist and get caught and lose the fight in the last 15 seconds of the round. So, you know, but Sonnen, man, he's a good guy, man. He's good for MMA, either on the mic, but I still think his best days in the octagon are behind him. But I'm really not a fan of Fedor. So, you know, Chael Sonnen. Let's go ahead and win this thing, man. Because I think he can beat Bader.
Yeah, you know, that it's not that tough of a road in that thing because a lot of them guys are all those guys
washed
are washed
up
out there. They kind of need, they kind of need some, I don't know, they need somebody like him to kind of liven that up because those guys are, they about to hit the nursing home any day over here. You know, you got Frank Mir getting knocked out in like 6 seconds.
Man,
come on,
yeah.
Man. Frank Mir getting knocked out in like 6 seconds in a fight, bro. He shouldn't even be getting punched. What's that dude doing even signing the MMA contract? He should be retired, man. He only got punched for too long in his career. You know, he took too many shots. And then for him to go up there and stand in front of Fedor and let him swing on you, that's just crazy. That should be illegal. Some of these guys should not be allowed. Like, just the fact, speak of the devil, Chuck Liddell. The fact Chuck Liddell is about to come back and fight. Man, if anybody's got no business being in there, he's got no business, man. He's taken so many shots. That was his whole game, was standing and bang. And he was good at it for a long time. He was the guy who got me into the UFC. Chuck Liddell was the first guy who got me into the UFC. That was the first guy that I watched and I locked in. I was like, wow, I got to keep watching Chuck Liddell fights. Like, this guy's a savage. That was the very first guy. And I remember his old fights with Tito back in the day. I remember him knocking out Tito back when Tito Ortiz was like an upcoming star. Everybody thought, like, who can stop this guy? And Chuck Liddell got him out of there, I think, twice. But he's too old now, man. I think he's actually 50 years old. And that, man, got no business getting punched in the head, bro. Come on now.
Yeah. Who really wants to see Chuck Liddell versus Tito Ortiz 3? First of all, Tito hasn't won a fight against the guy, so it ain't a rubber match. Secondly, both of them are old, so their best days are definitely behind them. And then it's in Bellator. I mean, come on, man. I mean, just those three things alone doesn't get me excited about that fight. And then Chuck Liddell recently started a little Twitter beef with John Jones or whatever. John Jones said, you know, I respect you so much that I'll fight you, but let's just do it in the gym somewhere privately so won't nobody see me embarrass you. So, man, this Tito Ortiz versus Chuck Liddell, man, it's like the Golden Girls, you know, the Golden Girls versus Carol Burnett show or something.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
you know,
so.
Chuck Liddell is really, seriously, almost 50 years old. I think he's 48. He's up there, man. Both them guys need to stop it. You know, actually, if the fight's not in Bellator, it seems like it'd be in Bellator. It might be. losses, they might try and do the fourth fight or some other washed up fight, and you know that always goes to Bellator. The fight's actually being put on by Oscar De La Hoya, your boy.
Golden Boy Promotions or something.
And you don't even have
that,
a
man.
Nobody want to see that.
Man,
fight.
Let's move on, man. Man, let's move on, man. Let's talk about something right. That people want to hear.
All right, yeah. You're right. I'm getting carried away with myself. My bad, y'all. All right. Speaking of which, we got a caller on the line right now, and I haven't been letting him into the queue. I kind of feel bad. He's probably about to swing on me now, too. So I'm going to jump him into the call. We're going to see what's up. What's going on? What up, bro?
What's good, Keys, man?
My bad. I had to wait, dog.
Hey, bro, look. I already heard the UFC talk. I don't know too much, but I kind of do like UFC. Just so much to keep up with. I heard Brock Lesnar talk, and I heard somebody watching SmackDown Live with me. I hear what's going on in the background.
Yeah. He was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but yeah,
y'all
want to talk about something else besides wrestling? Let's do it. What we want to talk about?
Yeah, so actually,
yo, man, what's good? It was good, Lee, man. Finally, we on the same episode together. It's been a minute. It's been the goddamn.
Yeah,
minute,
man,
Lee.
It's been a while.
I wish I could hug you right now, bro. I'm giving you a long distance high five right now, dog.
Oh,
I felt it. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, so
let's
so
get
a
pop.
What we doing? I got three suggestions on my mind. That's something we could talk about. And
well,
Keith really
has
y'all
something
y'all
on his mind, so.
Yeah, no,
Keith,
this
your show.
Yeah, bro, I got something I'm about to bring down in a second. I just wanted to say it was funny that Rodney mentioned SmackDown Live because that high five y'all just gave might have just been a tag team match, and y'all just tagged Lee into the ring.
Let's go. You're in.
That's what just
happened. Hey, you're rich.
Oh, y'all
coming off the top rope, dog.
Lee just coming. Nah, Rodney coming with a steel chair off the ropes or something.
Oh,
well, you
no,
know,
I'm
me and Rodney do be talking about wrestling on Twitter, though. We do be talking about wrestling on Twitter, though.
Yep. Yes, we do. Leave
man,
you speaking in with some
Keys?
Of these comments.
Yeah, the last time I was watching wrestling, I liked the Usos. They still on there?
Yeah, they still up there doing their thing.
Love those guys.
Yeah. I was a fan of the Usos when I was watching.
Keys, you're stalling, bro. Come on, what's the subject, man?
Nah, there's no stalling, because trust me, I'm going to get right into it. So, what's been on my mind lately is, I'm enjoying my summer. For all the listeners, Keys is having such a beautiful, wonderful, amazing, fantastic, unbelievable, memorable summer. It's great. It's July 10th. Usually after the 4th, it flies by. But, you know, it doesn't even – I ain't even bothered by that because every day counts. And I'm just appreciating everything, just the good vibes are flowing, positive energy. I'm accepting everything flowing in, you know. And at the same time, what's on my mind is the fact that I only got 4 classes left of my college career. I got 4 classes. You know, I technically 3 classes and an internship, which is like a job, a place I already work at. But I'm going to keep going with that, and then I'm going to be – you know, graduating next May. And with that being said, is that what's pressing my mind lately, and Lee might say that don't let it stress you too much, is you know, a lot of people just talking to me about, you know, them knowing that I'm almost done with school. You know, the conversations come up of, you know, what job, you know, I should go for, what I should do. You know, everybody wants to talk to you like they have, you know, the big idea. Or they're going to tell you, you know, what path to go down, or what's the best move, you know, what your degree or whatever, this and that and the third. And I know I've been given a lot of ideas and a lot of perspectives, but, you know, I've always had this struggle, this back and forth, you know, through my academic career. You know, I'm 22. I've been in school since forever. And I've always had this struggle, you know, in my life period of just not wanting to settle, you know, because my problem in life is settling. I don't like to feel like that I'm not doing exactly 110% what I want to be doing. You know, it's very hard for me in anything in my life to fake if I like something. So the fact that we get up here so often, you know, and I like to get up here 3-4 times a week if possible, this is the difference. I either love something or I hate something. I love doing this show, and that's the difference. But when I don't like doing something, I can't settle, and it's hard for me to fake a smile. So with that being said, you know that I never want to just, you know, land a job that I'm not going to be unhappy, just off the strength of making more money. And I know people, another thing people have been saying to me is, but Keys, that's life. You got to, you know, that's how it be sometimes. No, it ain't. That ain't how it be sometimes. But I'm going to tell you like this. I've worked very hard to be in the field that I want to be in. And I'm very focused on this career, and I want to be in the media. You know what I'm saying? And whether it be radio or with writing, you know what I'm saying, or whether I'm on the news or you see me on TV with a microphone or whatever the case might end up being, is that's what I want to be doing. That's the world I want to be in. And I'm on the path to doing that right now. But I just have a lot of distractions and people trying to tell me, oh, but, you know, the money might not be that good, or you can make more money doing this. One of my friends the other day I was talking to, one of my good friends, he told me, he was like, bro, just go where the money's at. He said, go where the money's at, like, in speaking about jobs. And I just thought to myself, man, this can't be it. That can't be it. Like, maybe for somebody else that's it, or the guy next door, or the guy down the street, or the kid in my class, you know, who just wants to make $100K a year. But for me, that ain't it. Like, obviously, everybody wants to be we don't want to be, but I don't want to settle.
So where are we going at with this, man? So what's the short? So where are we going at? What you getting at?
Thank you, Lee. Where is this going? I'm loving the motivation. Where is this going, bro?
So where it's going is just that what I'm telling y'all is that I have thought about a lot of the different options, and I've been given opportunities, but I've turned opportunities down. I'm turning everything down, and I don't care about the money. I'm doing exactly what I want to do, because the way that I think of it is, like, even with the path I'm on, I'm gonna be good, bro. I'll be happy, just, you know, not settling and doing what I want to do. I got an internship now. The job I'm at will lead me, you know, to the future that I want, and I basically have the career that I want. You know, Keys is a journalist.
Okay.
I don't know if the listeners know this. Keys is a journalist. Like, I really do this. I really get published all the time. Like,
I do it.
That's what's up. But look, you know, I know. I think I know where you're going at with this. I could be wrong, but I'm quite sure you'll let me know if I'm wrong. But, you know, a lot of people that go to school and get a degree, they don't even work in the field they got their degree in. You know, a lot of people, you know, they get a degree probably in business, but then, you know, they find out that doing something else is their calling. Like me, for example, I got my degree in business, and I got a accounting certification, and I got a degree in financial management. So, you know, my thing is, I like to deal with numbers, so I kind of work in my field, but does that make me 100% happy? No. What makes me happy is I know that my job is benefiting the veterans in all around the world that used to be in, that served in the armed forces. You know, it might not, my job kind of correlates with that, but the bottom line of what I do gives me more satisfaction than, you know, the actual job that I do, is who it affects. So, you know, when you young, and you guys are young, man, you're going to go probably through three, four, maybe five jobs before you find your actual true passion. But the thing is, you got to be willing to get out there and deal with the crappy job, the sorry supervisor, and knowing that there's a light at the end of the tunnel that you know that you're going to find your true calling. So one thing I like to tell young people is this. Don't dwell on what you can't do. Dwell on what you can do. Because if you dwell on what you can't do, you'll never find that one thing that you can do really, really well. So, man, you know, you guys, man, like, I love doing this show because it gives me great joy to expound some knowledge upon young folks. You know, I always say a wise man isn't wise unless he shares his wisdom and his experiences. And I like to do that on this show, and I like to do it on Twitter. Like, on Twitter, I always try to have a positive thing to say. Rodney can back me up on this. I always try to have something positive to say instead of, you know, something negative to say. If I don't agree with something, I'll say why I don't agree with it. But, you know,
that's
man, I'm not going to be the old man. I'm not going to be the old man sticking the mud. But all I say, man, is live your life, man, and then your true calling will find you. But you got to be willing to do that job, or you know that pays the bills, just to get to that thing that really satisfies your heart and makes your heart jump every morning when you get up to go to work. So go ahead, Rodney. It's on you. What you got to say?
I'm not saying nothing after that. That was pretty much a nail in the coffin. What's next? That was powerful.
Go ahead, man.
That was powerful. I'm around the same age as you, Keith. So I'm trying to find my passion as well. There's still some things I'm trying to figure out mentally, but I know eventually I'm gonna find that with not only with the willpower that I have, but the help of like the people that's behind me, from my family to my friend that's outside of the family to you guys, and. As far as the youth, we gotta keep pushing everything forward instead of like holding us back or staying at the one same spot. Because it looks like because of how this generation is going, it's taking a weird turn, and hopefully that's not the case. But at least I'm gonna try to do good as far as my part. That's all I can really say, because I can't speak for anybody else.
Wait.
As far as I got kids, you guys' age.
Goodness, wait, Lee, how old are you?
I'm 47, man. I got a son that's 26 and a daughter that's 25. So, you know, I got, and then my youngest son is in you guys' age group. He's about to be 21 in December. So, but go ahead, Keith.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, what
I
was
predicting at least 30.
I was going to ask Rodney, can you elaborate on what you were saying? Because you were saying that something like, you know, about the way this generation is going, like what were you talking about? Like, can you talk about a bit more about that? I wasn't following.
Basically, like, just, all right, for example, you see, Like guys like Little Peep, he's dying from overdosing, taking pills, and you got the generation paying tribute to him by taking pills, the pills that killed him consistently. You got people doing wild things for likes and for social media clout. You got a lot of people that's doing crazy things just to be known for like 5 seconds, and. Some of these people just is making certain people look bad. You got the era of inequality in gender. You got people that's oversensitive about certain things. Like it's taking like a weird turn that I really don't like. That common sense should be kicking into these people, and it kind of sucks. And I would hate to see him take that turn, but it's only so much one person can do. It's like LeBron with the Cavs, only one person. You could do something, and it can only go so far with like millions of things that's against you. So the best I can do is like do me.
I kind of agree with you about people doing stuff to be liked, or you know, the social media thing. I think social media, when used right, it could be a great tool, man. It could be a great tool to get a positive message out, to uplift people, to bring people together. But it also could be, when used wrong, it could be very, very divisive. It could cause exclusion, you know. And the one thing I definitely agree with you on is we do live in a sensitive world nowadays, where if you say one thing, you know, and you offend somebody, all of a sudden you got to come out and apologize, you know. Okay, you
Lee,
know, I got an opinion too.
I saw a tweet that a guy said females, and I see a bunch of women in the comment section saying, "Don't call us that." And it was like, females? I mean, y'all are females. It wasn't like he was disrespecting them or anything, but it's like, that's what y'all, we're males, y'all females. It's not like calling them female dogs, calling them hoes. It's females. Like, it's like y'all sensitive over the term females that y'all actually are? So it's kind of weird.
Another thing is they talking about that your first year in college or high school, you're not going to be a freshman. They talking about they're going to change the name of it. It's going to be something else. Yeah, and it's like, man, come on, man. But, you know, we just live in a day and age where, you know, people are super sensitive. You know, you got to choose your words wisely. And, you know, as far as us, me, you, Keys, people that actually do shows and podcasts, you know, we definitely have to be careful what we say, you know, so that we are not ostracized as far as, you know, having our show picked upon or picked out for, like, these two guys. They don't, you know, they racist, they gender, they don't believe in gender equality, stuff like that. So, you know, man,
people try to slander me for my show already, and it wasn't even nothing crazy. Over views. Like, I ain't just start the show. That was hilarious.
Yeah, man. So you know, maybe we just got to be careful, man. You know, just because something may not offend you, it might offend somebody else. But at the same time, I think people just need to respect other people's opinions. What's up, Keys? Quiet, man. Talk to us.
Yeah, man.
I was just having an issue trying to set up my other headphones. I was trying to plug the Beats headphones in to listen to y'all on that, because I was kind of just talking on my phone speaker, and hopefully it sounds a little bit better now. I couldn't tell if I got cut off
the
line,
clear.
And I was trying to switch the cord. Yeah, so good thing I'm here. And a lot of the reason why I didn't chime in right there is because I just wanted to. Sometimes I just like to absorb what people say and just really listen, because, you know, I don't know if I've said this on the show before, but I always like to, you know, let this be known and remind people that sometimes you might find that you're not even listening to somebody. You're just waiting to speak. And that's a communication problem that I think a lot of people have. And I'm guilty of it too. I'm not trying to sound like, so that's the reason why right there, I just wanted to hear Rodney out and listen to what Lee, you were saying about it. Cause sometimes, especially if I don't even have nothing to say, I'm just going to actually listen close to what y'all were saying. I mean, I agree. It's like a lot of, you know, our generation, like, you know, me and Rodney, our age group is very, you know, speaking of absorbing, we're like sponges. And some people, you know, when they're too into the social media and they're too easily influenced, you know, it gets to their head and they become too much of a follower about what the hype is.
kind of like you were saying about, you know, the tribute to that rapper or whatever. People was taking pills, you know, as a tribute to the fact that, you know, he died or whatever happened. I might have messed up that part. But, yeah, they was taking pills, like, just because the rapper used to take a lot of pills or whatever. And, yeah, there's a lot of whackness that goes on. There's definitely a lot of whackness with our generation. But I think the thing is that at this time, like, I think me and Rodney are kind of thinking about, because that was what you said, Rodney, that what you said? I feel like it is different than what I was really saying. But I understand, because that might be one of your big focuses. Like, for me, like, that's not one of my big focuses, because, you know, I kind of already, you know, I already filtered out a lot of that buffoonery. You know, I don't, you know, it's known. I don't even be going on, you know, most social media accounts. I don't go on that shit no more. No, I don't even be on Twitter.
Right.
So I don't even know about a lot of the stuff that you might be, you know, experiencing. I don't see it. So I don't even know what's out there. I mean, I go on YouTube. You know, I watch The Breakfast Club. I know, you know, with Tekashi 6ix9ine is interviewing on The Breakfast Club. I'll probably watch that. But, I mean, he even be on some wild stuff. I just don't let myself get influenced by it because there's so much buffoonery. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like our generation, everybody live it up. I understand. And I like to enjoy myself, too. You know, Lee tells me I need to go enjoy myself a little bit more because he's like, come on, Keys. You sound like your summer's a little bit dull over there. You should be, you know, out there, you know, enjoying things and experiencing more things. You know, he kind of put me on that, and he's right. But at the same time, is like, I'm just trying to lay low from all the bullshit because there's a lot of bullshit that happens. And kind of relating back to what I was saying, but in a different way, is you know how I said I'm not about settling in my life? I'm not about settling,
mm-hmm.
right? But
mm-hmm.
I'm not even just talking mm-hmm. about a career, bro. I'm talking about I'm not trying to settle for buffoonery. I'm not trying to settle for being with crowds of people that are whack. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to settle for average friends. I ain't trying to settle for, you know, those one-way street friendships, communication. People don't even want to call you, but they expect you to call them. You know what I mean? I ain't trying to have you not, you know, hit me up, but I got to hit you up. Like, that's the type of shit. I'm not settling for any of that bullshit. I'm not settling for being a druggie. A lot of people I know are druggies. That's why I don't got a lot of friends, because I ain't trying to settle for that buffoonery, bro. That's what I mean.
Nah, but Keyson, he about to spit some bars to get some stuff off his chest. Good. Off your stuff, Keys. Your stuff. Get that off, boy.
That's actually funny, because I actually do got a project coming out really soon, so they're going to hear me talk some stuff.
I'm gonna chime in, you know. Like, I do believe this. This is kind of crazy. And you guys, as you get older, you'll understand this. I have a lot of people that I'm cool with. You know, I have a lot of people that I can hang with. But I only have a handful of friends. I probably can count my friends probably on one hand. And what I mean by a friend is somebody that if I'm down and out, you know, I could call them and be like, hey man, look man, just talk to me, you know, listen to what I gotta say, you know. You people like that, you know, Rodney used the word support system. You know, your family
mm-hmm.
should be your support system, but sometimes
mm-hmm.
your friends, your really, really close friends are your support system also. I don't really call people that I go to the club with or go to a bar with like my friends, you know, even though some of my friends, we do go to the bar together. But people that I just kick it with, nah, we ain't really friends, man. You know, we just hang out together. So, you guys are still young. I mean, you guys are still young, so you're going to go through people that you meet here, meet there. You know, you weed out some here, you weed out some there. But it'll be people that make an impact on your life and y'all will be friends to the day one of you go to the next life. So, you know, but you can't let society dictate, you know, who you relate to, who you kick it with, who you befriend, because for every person that you like, it's probably 10 people that don't like that person. So, you know, man, it's just, you know, you just gotta you just gotta be true to yourself and be true to the people that you kick that are impactful to your life. That's all.
And that's a fact. For example, Lee, y'all know me for a while. Keith's known me for since I was a sophomore in high school. And Lee, you know me for at least a year. As far as you guys know me, y'all seen that I'm a pretty good guy with a pretty good personality. Correct?
Yeah. Nah, for sure.
Right. Like, if you really been around me, you would see, like, I'm probably, like, the nicest person in the world, most humble, but yet the probably one of the most silliest person I'll ever be around. But I always try to do things that bring a positive vibe, and not just to select the people, to anybody, everybody that has breathing. But for some reason, like, even I have people that don't like me, and some reason have, it's not a lot, but that just, like, trying to push my buttons for no reason. And so sometimes after a while, I was like, all right, bro, I can't control this about me. I'm about to move on, focus on me. No, you good. But I was bullied by a female because I was so nice back in fifth grade. So after a while, it's like, hey, you can't control what they think about you. You just got to move on.
Yeah.
As long as you got a great amount of friends in your circle, you should be good. Who cares about everybody else?
Well, you are a really nice guy. You are a really nice guy, bro, for sure. But I see what you're saying, because people, society don't like that, because everybody.
This is a good match.
You know, at least by what I experienced, it seems like everybody likes the idea of, you know, keeping your head down, keep moving. You know what I mean? People don't. They get thrown off by that when you're overly friendly. Or to you might just be average. That just might be, oh, I woke up on the right side of the bed this morning. I'm going to walk out the door, throw a smile on. I'm going to go into work, you know, say good morning to somebody. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to dance halfway there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to jump out of bed, dance halfway there. You know, I'm going to buy somebody a coffee today. You know what I mean? Like, just extra things. And,
oh,
and
we ain't going
wanna...
that far. I'm not Jay-Z. We're not going that far. But not good. I'm playing. Go ahead.
Nah, but like,
Lee?
I think society is thrown off by that. Like, when you have just straight kindness, people they like that competition feeling where it's like, oh, none of us are friends. Everybody's got like an edge to them. Like, you know, everyone that he don't want to be talked to. She don't want to be talked to. Like, and that's at least what I experienced. So. Maybe that doesn't exactly hit home with what you were trying to say, but I do think that people are bothered by people being too nice. And so a guy like you, I can understand why.
But when you bring up competition,
my bad, Lee. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say this. I actually seen this the other day. They sent the email out to work, and they send it out every Monday. It's like the motivational something. And the one they sent out Monday, the lady said, the best part of your outfit is your smile. I was like, whoa, that's kind of deep.
Because,
you know, when you get ready for work, you know, you're looking at your shirt, you know, your tie, you know, your slacks, making sure your shoes good. But if you frowning, that outfit ain't nobody looking at that outfit. They looking at your expression. And then if you smiling, they like, yo, all right, look at the, all right, I see you, homie. Yeah, walk that walk. You know, so, man, you know, it's just like little stuff like that I pick up, man. You know, the best part of your outfit is your smile. So, you know, a lot of people, they don't understand how powerful a smile is. You know, you walk by, you say, hey, good morning, how you doing? You smile. Man, that might make somebody day, man. You don't know what kind of mood okay. they're in, you know. You know, I got this thing where if I say something, let's say me and somebody walking down the aisle at the grocery store, I'd be like, hello, how you doing? If they don't say something, I'm like, oh, it's that kind of day, huh? And I just keep on moving. And then, you know, they thinking like, damn, I guess I could have said something back, you know. So, man,
yeah.
What it is, man. But you can never let nobody steal your joy. Never, ever, ever let somebody steal your joy. Because once you do that, they done took some of your power away. So don't ever let nobody steal your joy.
That's a fact.
See, that is a fact. And you know what? And so what Lee just said was so awesome, because out here where I'm from, the area that I live in, this community, like, people are not, when you, like, besides the job I work at and like a few places I've been, you know, at the college I go to specifically, people will do that and they'll say, hey, how you doing? Everyone smiles. They'll hold the door. You know, everyone will say thank you. Everyone's very polite. So they always try and spread positivity. But there's only a few places where I really experience that. For example, in the city that I live in, like Lee was just saying, walking to the grocery store, if I walk through the Stop and Shop or the Market Basket, I don't know if y'all got stores like that out there, probably not. But if I walk through Stop and Shop, that's like a big grocery store chain out here, and I said that to somebody, oh, hey, how you doing, walking through the aisle, somebody would probably just dead stare at me. They wouldn't say anything. Like, people are so awkward in this society. It's like, it's pitiful, man. It's really sad. Like, you can't even walk in. Like, unless you go into the gym, like, this is like a Planet Fitness. Like, if you, I don't know if y'all got Planet Fitness out that way. Planet Fitness is kind of big. But, yeah, we got Planet Fitness out here. So that's a, that's a gym. Here. And, like, I know I used to go to Planet Fitness a lot. And when you walk in Planet Fitness, the first person at the counter right there that usually checks everybody in, they'll always say, hey, how are you, or stuff like that, and they'll might, you know, start a little conversation. Or if you say something to them, you know, 9 times out of 10 that employee will be, you know, nice back. But that's like one of few businesses where that's like that. Like, any other store, if you say, oh, hey, how you doing, or something, people, that's like out of the ordinary, I'm telling you. Like, if you say, oh, have a good night, people barely even say nothing back. Man, there's a lot
of
miserable people where I live, bro. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, but it's kind of different though from where you at. I mean, Rodney live in the South. You know, I'm from Virginia. We kind of like in the middle. You know, man. And people, I know it's been said before, but Southern hospitality is a true thing, man. It's nothing for you to go anywhere in the South and people speak to you. They greet you. You know, they warm and bubbly towards you until you do something where they shouldn't be warm and bubbly to you. And whereas right up north, man, it's like people be hustling up north. It's like they on a constant go. Like, for the time you get to, like, D.C. up to New York, man, I'm serious, man. D.C. up to New York, man, people always on the go, man. They bought their hustle. They bought their grind. They ain't got time to be, you know, hey, how you doing, la, 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 la. They trying to get from point A to point B as fast as they can, you know, and it's two different lifestyles, man. It's just the way it is. It all depends on where you're from. A lot of people say it shouldn't matter where you're from, but it does, because cultures are different. Depending on where you're at and, you know, and how you raised. I think, Rodney, you from Louisiana, New Orleans, right?
Yes, sir. Big easy.
All right. And the funny part is, Me and Keys were talking about cruises earlier. I went on a cruise, and I went out in New Orleans. And, you know, we went and checked into the little hotel or whatever, and they had lost my girl's bag. And the lady at the front desk at the hotel, she was like, ma'am, you know, I can keep calling the airline for you to make sure they get your bag here, la, 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 la. You know, my girl was like, well, you know, I can do that myself. She was like, no, we want you to have a good time while you're here, enjoy your stay. And I was like, whoa. You know, but that's just the way it is. That it's you know, that's I was so grateful for her doing that because my girl was stressed out, like her bag might not be there before we leave, and you know, and for that lady to do that, it was great, man. And I actually bought a card and I wrote a thank you card for that young lady before we got on the boat. So yeah, man. People can say that it ain't where you from and all that, but it is, man, because DC up, oh my goodness gracious. Man, it's people of constant go. Whereas in the South, you know, it's more laid back, you know, more friendly. And Rodney can attest to that.
Well, facts. I'm the type of person that hugs you just off of something simple. Go ahead, Keith. What do you want to say?
I was about to say, you know, off listening to y'all, I think the moral of the story here is Key's got to make his way out south, man. I got to go see what's going on in these states. Cause this is crazy. I'm missing out on
my
life. I was born in the wrong place, I think.
But Keys, man, it ain't just going in the wrong place. It's just that
it's just
the culture, though. It's the culture, man. People are they on a constant go where you at. I mean, it's kind of sort of like that out here in Denver. But you know, Denver, you know, you got your slow parts of town. You know, you got downtown, which is normally, you know, a lot of people work downtown. Then you got where I live in Aurora. Aurora's kind of spread out, so you know it's kind of slow. Then you got Colorado Springs, which is about an hour and 45 minutes from here. It's so laid back up there that they come down to Denver to party. So man, it all depends, man. It all depends. Go ahead, Rodney.
Dang. Man, but yeah, I remember one time that a lot of times when I'm seeing somebody and we interact for a second, and as we're departing ways, I always like leave something just out of kindness of my heart, like yo, be safe or you have a good day, something like that. And it's rare that I get one first. Like at one time before I even got a chance to say be safe, they told me that first. I was like, yes, love, man. Thank you. You too. Like, that made my day, and my day didn't have to be made. Like, it just sometimes the little things when it comes to kindness and positivity can, like, brighten you up so much. And because I'm so positive, half the time I barely even need to be brightened up already. But because of that, it helps one spread more joy to people. And that's, like, that's dope.
It feels good
to me.
Yeah,
feels
I mean,
great.
Even if you're already a happy guy, getting that extra, you know, that extra 2 cents from somebody that day, you know, metaphorically, is that extra little bit, you know, still gives you a boost, even though you was already feeling good.
Right.
Yeah, man. It's a lot of people take small things for granted.
Facts.
You know, people. This is one of the greatest sayings ever. Love me while I'm here. Don't love me when I'm dead and gone, because I ain't going to be able to feel it. Love me when I'm here.
Facts.
Tell me you love me. You know, call me and tell me you miss me. You know, me and my brother, you know, we never really seen eye to eye on a lot of stuff. But, you know, over the past couple of years, you know, we done bonded. You know, our bond has grew. We're a little bit tighter now, you know. We talk to each other almost every day, you know. And before we hang up or before we leave, I'd be like, I love you, little bro. And he'd be like, I love you too, big bro. I'll let you. Stay up, man. You know. I know you working a job you don't want to work, but look, you got to make that. You got to survive. You got to take care of you and your family. So just hang in there one more day. Tomorrow will be a better day. You know. It's just little stuff like that, man. Pick people up. And, you know, before we sign off on our show every night, you know, Keys will say something. And then before we sign off, I'll tell everybody be safe. Until next time, you know, stay blessed. You know, I like to say stuff like that. And Keys' new thing that he really liked that I say is, Rodney, you're going to love this too. Positive people, positive energy, yield positive results.
Facts.
And, I love that.
And
I love every time you say that,
and
I
that's
love
my
that
thing,
more.
Man. Positive people.
Man, you need to say that
with
every
positive
show.
Positive energy yield positive results.
That's facts.
Oh man, look at this. I walk out the door and I say to myself, I'm going to have a good day today. And I walk out with a positive mind every day. The only thing that changes that is if I'm exhausted, I'm going to feel tired. But I don't feel negative about the day just because I'm tired. Once I wake up, I feel positive, and I'm like, it's going to be a great day. So I like to think I'm a positive person, is what I'm trying to say.
But your attitude, you know, just because you're tired,
it doesn't mean your attitude. You know, sometimes it depends on who you are. You got to do with that just grumpy and just real life just to be grumpy. They're not grumpy because
There are real life curmudgeons in this world. People that just aren't happy every day. They find something to tick them off every day. They just curmudgeons, man. Ain't nothing you can do about that, man. Only thing you can do is you can speak, good morning, how you doing, and you just keep it moving. Once they start talking that negative stuff, hey, you got like something on your phone or you doing something, hey, look, I'm really busy right now, you know, I got something to do. Hey, I'll come talk to you later on today. Man, don't let them rub off on you, man.
Like, for example, Lee, I remember my senior year, my classmates asked me, like, yo, bro, how do you stay so happy all the time, bro? Why are you so happy all the time? Not saying that I should, but they was asking, like, yo, how do you do it? How can you stay happy all the time? I said, why can't you? Because at the end of the day, we control our emotions, right, from start to finish.
Yep.
At least when the day starts. So why wait for something good to happen for you to be happy when you can just be happy?
That's true.
I don't want to wait like just I find something or something good happens to me or somebody gives me something to be smiling now. No. I want to be lit. I want to have fun. I want to spread love. I want to hug people. I want to do my fun handshakes with the students and teachers. I don't discriminate. I show love. I give smiles. I make silly jokes. I just want to put a smile on everybody else's faces while having a smile on my own. Because the bigger the smile they get, the bigger minds get, and the greater the positivity is in this room.
Yeah, I can feel that because I know, like, for me, I transferred to a new school my senior year, and that was rough as it was. Because, you know, all the people I had went to school with all the way through elementary school, you know, I was leaving them to go to a totally new high school, you know. Relationships I was only know for about 8 months, you know, compared to people I knew for 8 years. So then I got picked on a lot. But one thing about me was they could pick on me, but inside I was always, you're not nobody on this bus is smarter than me. Nobody on this bus is going to outwork me. So I had, like, internal motivation, you know, even though they were making fun of me, you know, hee-hee and ha-ha and at my expense. But they just didn't know the drive that was inside of me that I was going to get up out of this, out of my situation of being poor and all that, and I was going to do something. Regardless of all your jokes and all your hee-hee ha-has, I'm going to be better than you. I'm better than you now. You just don't know it. So yeah, man. That's why I keep telling my man Keys, grind it out in school, man. But you work hard to enjoy your summer. So enjoy your summer, man. You know, if you work hard, you play hard. You only get 3 months to play hard. So play hard as you can.
Meanwhile, you get like at least at least 11 months to work hard.
Yeah.
Well, college,
so
we
got to play
hard. Five, yeah, at least like maybe 9 to 8. Because college, you don't spend that many months compared to high school. So,
man, we need more people like Lee We need more people like both y'all out in Boston, man, because this is just it could, because, you know, some people tell, like, I consider myself an independent person, and I think people like to feel that way, that they're independent and they don't need other people. But I think they take it too far. You know, they take it to an extent where it's like, okay, I don't need you. No, I don't need you to make me feel any way. I'm just going to be miserable and not allow you to, you know, say anything to me or try to, like you were saying before, it's like you want to have the handshakes with your teachers. Like, people want to act like they're too good for that around here. Like, no, then don't get me wrong, teachers are very cool. Most teachers that I've had, at least, like, probably, like, high school and college, I had really friendly teachers who were about stuff like that, which was nice. But at the same time, that high school and that college are not in the direct area that I'm referring to. Those, I kind of had to go out away. Those are teachers from all different cities, not really exactly in my community. Same with the college I go to. So technically, this is like almost that. Those are almost different cultures in itself, and those people were dope. But I'm just saying, there's some people around here which, you know, I don't let it get me down, but it is disappointing just to see people live like that, where they like to walk around right. Like they don't need anybody, and they don't need their friends or their family or their coworker to help them, to uplift them when they know they're down. They just want to be upset and just live like that, and just wallow in that, you know, in their own mood. And that's sad to me.
That's not good, man.
There's people, there's a lot of people like that, Jeremy. You'd be surprised.
Actually, I'm not surprised, man, because, being in the military, I dealt with a lot of people. I've seen a lot of things. And, you know, I had a supervisor one time. Me and her was super cool. And then she got promoted. Actually, me and her was peers. Then she got promoted, and she became, like, my boss. And, man, her whole disposition towards me just changed. And I was like,
I hate those.
It was just all good just a week ago. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm not even tripping. You know, I never even gave her the satisfaction of, you know, thinking that she was better than me. I'll just be like, yes, ma'am, what you need me to do? And I just know that
we
drove
not
her
no
crazy.
Special treatment or nothing. No special treatment or nothing.
Yeah.
We just asked for just us to saying good vibes and all. You're my boss now. I understand that, but don't overdo the I'm the boss on the stuff. Come on, like let's still be cool. Let's still be friends. And
don't try to
get the job done.
Don't try to be.
Yeah,
I hate those.
But you know, man, I'm gonna ask y'all a question real quick. You know, being that we're doing this show on positivity, I mean, it kind of impromptu. I'm quite sure. That I don't think this was the direction the show was going to go in tonight, but I'm kind of glad it did. So, you know, man, you know, we sit here talking about positivity. It's this thing that's just been like, I ain't going to say it's been like on my heart, but it's kind of been like, it has become like very prevalent in my life right now, is that I want to give back to young folks. How do you guys give back to people younger than y'all? You know, how you get back to like your little brother, your little cousin? How do you motivate them to be better than you? How do y'all do that? I know for me, I do it by through my words. I like to give people words. You know, people can hang on to words. You know, they can see you work hard. You know, we all supposed to work hard, you know, because if you work hard, you're supposed to enjoy the fruits of your labor, la, 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 la. But I like to get back to words, you know, encouragement, things like that. So how do you two guys get back to your little brothers, your little cousins, your nieces, your nephews that are younger than you? How do y'all do that?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You sure you don't want to go? Yeah, I was going to say, you go.
Good.
You said you want me to go. all right.
You made
it
so you about to go 30 minutes.
Nah, I ain't going to go. Nah. Well,
good,
this is funny because for a quick second when he asked that, I was like, oh, man, I don't even got an answer for that. But then I thought a little deeper, and I was like, wait a second. Damn, you just hit me right in the perfect spot. Like, I'm going to tell you how. So when you was talking about you like to give back with words, that's the same thing with me. It's only like I try to give back by, you know, with guidance, but not just guidance, like just trying to be the person that I never had when I was in that position. I try to be whether, you know, I hang out with a lot of family. I hang out with my cousins a lot and my little cousins. I try to be, you know, the role model that I never had when I was looking up to my older cousins. I try to be the friend that I never had that my older cousins never wanted to hang out with me. If I'm on a sports team, I try to be, you know, the older kid that's helping out, you know, the new guy that never want. Yeah, God bless you. I try to be the older kid that's helping out the new guy that when I was new, they never wanted to help out me. And when I'm at work and there's like, you know, there's somebody new at work and he doesn't know about the process. When it's somebody new at work and they don't know about the process, I just try to treat them and with the respect and with the effort that I was never given. Because in a lot of scenarios, people don't want to give anything because they weren't given. I try to do the opposite and give in the areas where I wasn't given, you know, to the next generation or the next whoever that is that's in my position. So that's pretty much the way that I try to give back. Rodney, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, it's pretty similar with not just words, but actually like just support wise too. Because recently, the class after mine in high school just graduated, but before that, during the entire year, I showed so much love and support. Even though I wasn't able to visit them as much as I wish I could because I wasn't able to drive too much, I hit all of them up on Snapchat, give them some words of encouragement, show them how much I love and support them. I always spread love to them. When I do visit them, it's always love. And I always want to know, like, yo, just because y'all graduated now doesn't mean that the love and support stops here. I want all of you guys to succeed. And when I say that, I actually really mean it. Because it's one thing just to say things because it sounds good. It's another thing to actually mean it. Because a lot of people, because this is the thing I kind of hate about this world too, especially with kind of famous people, when they say like little things like, yo, you come through by the crib, chill, joke around stuff. Yeah, cool. And they really don't do it. Knowing both of them that they're not really going to do it. The type of person I am, I actually take that serious because I like good vibes. I think you're a pretty cool person. Let's hook up. No? All right, my bad. I thought it was cool. I'm more of a stay on your word type person. Even if you really don't mean it,
I
kind of hope you did. But I'm getting used to it now, but it still sucks. But that's
I mean,
I'm with you on that.
With that young and me.
I mean, the thing is too is that like what I just try to do now is like, you know, kind of going back to what Lee was saying with, you know, a lot of the people he might go out to the bar with or go to the club with. I mean, I'm 22, so maybe this is on a different level. But the people I go to the bar with or go to the club with, they ain't really my friends. I mean, like they can be because I might go to those places with my friends, but the people that I just go out with, and that kind of he said you just hang out with, you know, when I see those people, I'm not really treating it that way. So like you said, if you're gonna say something, let's actually do it, not just say it just to say it, just to get the look,
right?
Just to get good looks. So what I'm basically getting at here is that the people that if I don't feel it, I'm just not gonna say it. Like if I see you, I'm not gonna go crazy and show mad love if I don't have mad love for you. People want to get hype and be like, oh,
yeah,
I haven't seen you in mad long. Oh, we got to chill. Oh, the summer's coming, bro. We got to go do all this. Well, you know we're going to hit the beach or whatever. Da, da. And like you said, they never do it. Like so many summers, people have been like, oh, we got to chill the summer. We def chill in the summer. And, you know, none of those people ever chilled. Like they just say it just to say it and to make someone happy in the moment, but it ain't genuine. So that's my stance on that. Say what you really mean.
There's a lot of people, for example, that'll give you a couple of times.
Oh yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, Lee, go
ahead,
bro.
There was a couple times that we all try to talk at the same time. Goodness,
that's no, not go ahead, Rob.
But there was, just real quick. There was a couple times that Lee told me to come to on the show. I'm like, cool. Then like after a while, either something pop up, like I took a nap like today, or like something that called me to like either forget about the show. Then I seen the town like, oh shoot, the show, and I call like and the show damn near almost over, and I still call to come true. And I even come in when you unmute me. I come in and apologize like, yo, such and such happened. My bad, y'all. I wish I would have called sooner. Like that energy. That's the energy that should be there, no matter what happens. Even if you're late for
something,
the effort, at least you're here, and like a sooner time than just being here, just coming in wherever you feel like it, and showing that you obviously don't care. You walk in, and you're breathing hard, saying, "Yo, I'm so sorry, such and such happened. It was a long morning." Yo, you good, bro? You good? Let's just go get this money. Like that energy. At least show that you was actually not trying to miss such and such, or not trying to be there. Just that's the energy that we need.
That's a fact, bro. Oh my God, I feel like we're the same person over here. That was like the same. That's like the stuff I be preaching about.
We gotta do a few.
That was hot. What'd you say? We gotta do the fusion.
We gotta do a fusion dance, like Dragon Ball.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. Me and Roddy be having some gems, bro. Alright, yeah, Lee. You asked us, and we kind of went in on that. So what's your rebuttal? Because you asked us, so.
Actually, man, it's not a rebuttal. It's just that, I just wanted to see where you guys was at, you know. But I think I hate keep using sayings, but. Each one teach one, you know, so you should bring somebody along, you know, that's under you, you know. And I feel that, you know, as I do have kids, you know, I do have nieces and nephews, and I do certain things to motivate them to be better. And I just want to see what you guys did, because to me, my nieces and nephews, they're young. You know, they're really, really young. And maybe my old school way they don't receive that, whereas I could use some of the stuff you guys use as far as, like, Snapchat, you know, send them a little video message, stuff like that, saying keep your head up, go out and be better today, you know, stuff like that. So that's all I was really gauging, was to see what I could do to, like, you know, just to reach out to my nieces and nephews, or you know, I talk to my kids all the time. So, but my nieces and nephews are back in Virginia. So, you know, it's cool. You know, I just wanted to see how that went.
All right.
Yeah, you know,
I got you.
I think we all got a pretty good. And I'm not just trying to say because y'all are here, but. Because, like I said, I was listening. Like, I try to. I think me and Rodney be really on the same page. I mean, Lee, we all on the same wavelength overall. You know, we're trying to just help out, you know, whoever's next. You know, try to give them the guidance that you would want. You know, the same how Rodney was saying, like, you know, if he forgets to call into the show, and he said he was going to call into the show, then when he comes in, knowing he was late, he expresses that concern because he knows that he said he would be calling in, but he feels bad that he was late. So you just try to give basically the effort that you would want or that you expect from that person. You put that forward. So that's a good message for the end of the show, man. I really like that.
Yeah.
You know, we got not even a minute left, or I'd probably carry on longer. But we're going to say some last few things right here. you know, I always say beware of tornadoes. I ain't even on that today. My boy Rodney actually hit me up with this topic actually a while back. So I think Lee called it impromptu. He said this might have been an improv show or something like that, but it was off the top. We didn't know we was going to talk about it. But Rodney actually hit me with this topic quite a while back talking about positivity. And I remember on this show when he had said that was he was kicking me some of the topics he was talking about on his show. I was like, man, that's a really great topic. You know, that's kind of something that people, it kind of goes over heads. You don't think to just, man, let's talk about positivity. Let's just talk about helping people. You wouldn't even think about that as a topic because it's not really, it's not on people's minds enough, not enough. So I'm glad that we had this show. I appreciate you, Rodney, for calling up.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me.
Do you have any last few gems?
Well, you know,
I was gonna
send a shout out to Rodney, you know, man, and also you, man. You guys are young guys. You guys have a platform, and you use your platform to, you know, to promote positivity, good things in life, you know, and you never know who listens to you guys' show. You never know who listens to our show. You never know who listens to Rodney's show. And you might say that one thing that somebody be like, you know what, I don't think killing myself is the thing to do. We might save somebody's life just by them listening to our show. You know, listening to your energy, your positive energy. I mean, we don't know. We really don't know who's listening to us or, in Rodney's case, who's listening and watching. So that's why I say use your platform to promote positivity, even though we live in negative times. I mean, right now our country is so divided, and, you know, it seems like every day you watch a sad story on the news, man. So I just say that to say this. Everybody stay safe. Till the next time that we reach your ears, stay blessed, and stay focused.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Everybody stay positive. I hope you were able to take something from, you know, what we said in this show. You know, whichever one of the three of us might have dropped something that really that you really appreciated. And I hope that everybody was able to take something from it. And, yeah, keep on spreading the message and pay it forward. Pay it forward is key. That might need to be a whole nother show because that's a whole nother thing. But, yeah, pay it forward and just show the respect to others that you would want to be shown to yourself. I think that's a pretty good way to live. And I don't know everything, but I think that's not a terrible way to live. So, yeah, Rodney, I appreciate you for coming on, bro. It was epic. And like you said, until next time, Lee and Keys Real Talk, episode 45, we over and out. Have a good night, y'all. Stay safe.
Easy.
Peace.